Well, good morning. This is Jack Madden for October 14th, 2013, and you're listening to Consumerization Nation. With me, as always, is Colin Steele.
Good afternoon from Boston, Jack, where I may have a little bit of a scratchy throat after yesterday's sports heroics. A little too much yelling yesterday.
No worries. Sounds like it was a good day.
Yes, it's definitely worth putting up with for the end result. So,
and the exciting part about today is on the line with us. We also have Phil Redman from Citrix. I was about to say from Gartner, but from Citrix.
Hi guys, how you doing today? Great to be here.
Pretty good. So, Colin got this all. Got this all put together to have Phil on the show here, so we're very excited about that.
And yeah, Citrix is one of the companies that we cover a lot, obviously based on their role in the mobility and desktop virtualization markets.
We write about them every now and then.
Yeah, I had a refresh my memory when I got the email. Like, Citrix who?
Yeah.
So between that and Phil's role or prior role as an analyst at Gartner, we thought he would be a great guest to come on the show. And Phil, when Citrix initially reached out to us so that you could, the reason that they reached out to us was we got pitched on a new study, which I guess isn't that new anymore, from the Pew Center. And one of the takeaways from that was that more people are using their phones to go online instead of their PCs, which I think is a pretty obvious result. But people see reports like that, and it kind of feeds into this whole mobile is replacing the PC hype that we sometimes see and that we're sometimes guilty of as well. But the reality is that the use cases for each type of device are usually a lot more nuanced. Can you talk a little bit about the factors that go into device choice for specific tasks, particularly among business users?
Well, sure. I mean, first of all, you know, everybody is a personal user, even if you are a business user. And I think that's also a big part of this impact, too. Even when I started looking at mobile data usage back in the late 90s, you know, a question we used to ask was, you know, is it business or is it personal? And it turned out that it's almost always both, that the majority of users always did a little bit of personal, even with a business device. But, you know, obviously the choices of devices and the choices of applications and data services has increased dramatically since then. And right now, you know, you see the adoption of multiple devices. Everybody has at least two devices, typically, you know, whether they're talking about a smartphone and a PC, most likely a laptop. And then, of course, the tablet has really grown over the past couple of years. And so probably most mobile workers today even have, you know, that third device. And so typically, a lot of the usage of that device may depend upon, you know, what the transaction is and what the application is. Those that are more multimedia intensive, those that are more complex. So for the business world, that could be working on presentations or spreadsheets. You know, they want a bigger display and they want maybe a keyboard or a hard keyboard that's big enough to be able to add a lot of information on. And so certainly the tablet has been a big driver of that, but, you know, it's replacing usage. It's not replacing the total usage of the device of the laptop. It's just displacing it. So we're seeing more and more of that usage go there. On the smartphone side, we still see that it's primarily about, you know, quick transactions. Because even though these screens have gotten a bit bigger, and we could all talk about, you know, whether a 4-inch, a 5-inch, or even a 7-inch is still a smartphone or not. Not to let you know, I'm not going to use that word phablet. I brought it up, but I'm not going to say phablet.
Thank you.
You know, the usage model is very different than that of a tablet and then even that of a laptop. And so even though maybe desktops are somewhat being replaced, especially in the home, certainly the computing usage, the model of having a PC, probably a laptop, is not really being fully displaced yet. And I think that's going to live on for some years to come.
So what are the ramifications of this for IT when users are turning to different devices for different reasons, and the reasons why one person might use, say, a tablet over a smartphone are different than the reasons another person might pick a different device?
Yeah. So I've been doing mobile computing long enough that I remember actually when notebooks started coming into the enterprise, and those were very similar to tablets. They were driven by individual users, most likely salespeople. They bought these notebooks and they said, oh, I don't want to have this desktop on just to, you know, use that in an office. I need to take this notebook with me, primarily at home, but also customer sites. And so what happened is IT quickly started moving towards supporting that, because obviously it was expensive and complex and high value they saw. And it moved into standardization. Believe it or not, even when laptops came out, different models from the same manufacturer had different battery sizes, has different connectors. Some may have been on token ring, some on Ethernet. There was no standardization there. And IT really liked standardization. And so the same thing's happening today with mobility, is trying to move towards standardization. But the problem is that there is no mobile standard, as everyone knows. And, you know, it's really not going to be for the foreseeable future. Not even a de facto standard like we've had in the past. So that means it's a huge challenge for IT. Where do they manage it? How do they manage it? Should they manage it at all? These are all these different questions that they're going through. So huge ramifications about where they're spending the money, security and the data on these different types of devices, and also how to extend across, you know, not just these new mobile devices, which are getting all the attention, but people are still saying, hey, I still got my laptop. I still have, you know, a desktop maybe. You know, this still needs some support too. And although PC sales are declining overall, I think a lot of that is being driven in a home because they're being replaced. The second computer is being replaced by a tablet. But in the office, you know, there are some job users and segments that aren't using their PCs or aren't using laptops anymore, but primarily almost everybody still has a PC, and I think that'll continue. So there's so many different areas to go and explore that area about, you know, what the ramifications are. But whatever it is, it comes down to is that these things need to all be you know, looked at and assessed for different types of usage, different types of security. The one size doesn't fit all, and one policy doesn't fit all.
Man, I see this whole thing going into like leading right into the, and then there's Cloud Gateway.
Well, maybe the, so.
But no. I certainly agree. I'm excited to talk to you about, you know, certainly you're in a very unique position, having spent years at Gartner and being involved in especially the mobile device magic quadrant, which I was curious to ask you about, and then coming into the role at Citrix. So I had on my agenda to ask you what it was like in both of those roles. And but I'm thinking like when you come into Citrix, you're like, hey, here's all the stuff that, you know, that all the recommendations that we made at Gartner, like, let's just do all of these right now.
Well, I wish I had that type of power. And I wish it worked like that. You know, obviously, there's a lot of good people that are contributing in this space, and I hope I can influence it, you know, somewhat. And I think part of the reason that I found that there was a good mix between me and Citrix was because I think a lot of them thought that way already. So there shouldn't be too much clashing. It's just how fast can we move, or anyone move, in this industry. And I think the big challenge is that the complexity is increasing. And so the challenge even for us, and maybe especially for us, is how do we keep that complexity down, reduce that complexity? If it's just basic policy management, you know, everybody's doing that. It's not real complex. And, you know, you want to secure those devices or add some policy on it. Anyone can do that. But we all know that people want more than that. They want to mobilize. They want to optimize for mobility. And that's where it gets complex, because there's a lot of legacy systems, a lot of legacy applications, a lot of legacy devices. It's not just all the latest and greatest. And so I think that complexity is a challenge, and always has been in mobility. But having, you know, the opportunity to try to, you know, solve some of that, I think it's a great puzzle, and I'm definitely looking forward to being involved in it. But there's a huge group that's also there that's working on that. And
yeah, a lot of great people there. Let's back up a minute though. I want to hear about sort of what it's like being at Gartner, and it seems like, I know you were involved in the MDM Magic Quadrant, and what it's like putting together, I guess, something that's frankly seems so influential. And then, you know, hey, there you guys are. You have to conduct all the research. You have to, you say like, hey, we're going to measure on these things, and this is how we decide what's important and not. And so give us a picture of what that process of putting together something like that is, and how to make something that, you know, is going to be so influential.
Well, it's kind of funny. MDM and some format or PC lifecycle management has been covered in Gartner for, you know, 20 years. So the idea isn't new. It's just these new devices that have come out, and how to manage these almost consumer-oriented devices, obviously. That was the challenge. And so, believe it or not, about 6 years ago when I started looking back on how we're going to cover this at Gartner, I was the research manager and the agenda manager. So I would help develop the core goals and requirements for the coming year and what we should publish on. And for about 6 or 7 years, I would say, oh, you know, we have to start looking more at these mobile devices. You know, certainly BlackBerries didn't really need a whole lot of management, but Windows devices were being managed. And then, of course, you know, we saw these, you know, emerging other smartphones. And as the iPhone came out, I said, oh, you know, we need to kind of look at, you know, how these are going to be managed on the consumer basis, you know, and what this is going to look like. And as the research manager, I thought, oh, this would be really interesting, but you know what, let's give it to someone else. And we have all these other great analysts. And so 1 year I sent to somebody, hey, we should really look into this. And they said, yeah, that's great. We talked all about it, but we never really got any research out on it. And another year, and it maybe was a little bit early because they were just starting to get into the business world. But another year
I'm thinking, so like this is like 2007, 2008, 2009,
right,
when really for iOS and Android, there was not much going on.
Well, it's true. There wasn't
on the MVM side.
Yeah. There was some that was starting to happen, and there were some basic capabilities, but you could just see that was important. And I always feel, you know, hey, let's just get ahead of the ball game. And sometimes I feel, you know, like we could be late when in fact we're early. So even when I came to Gartner, I started talking so much about, hey, we need to get policy and policy templates and policy management out there, especially on the telecom services side. And, you know, it was a couple of years before that adoption really took off. But I felt we were already too late because it needed to be done. And the same thing happened in MDM. I just tried to jump on that as early as possible. We could see it happening. And it's not like I'm any genius. It's just that we talk to all these clients all the time. And, you know, you just can gather all that information pretty easily. And they say, hey, we need, you know, we're concerned about the security. We're concerned about how to manage these devices. So, you know, what's there to do about it? And it's like, I don't know. We should figure that out. So in the end, you know, sometimes you just have to jump on it yourself. I said, okay, I want to get this thing done. That's really important. And so I did start putting the process together, and it kind of started with the definition. We're like, well, what is current day MDM? We kind of covered it in some other areas, but how should we define it? And, well, you know, like anything, those always take some doing, but we defined it in kind of four main technology areas that you looked at, you know, hardware management, security management, application management, and something I called services management. So a lot of it was anything related to the services or the networking on the device. And I said, you know, just keep it really broad and let's not worry about where things fit too much because there's going to be all this overlap. But, you know, we want to look at MDM in this way. And that's kind of the definition that stood the test of time over the past 4 or 5 years. And something that, you know, you can fit almost anything into. And now each year the definition gets a little bit adjusted about, you know, what falls under what category and should, you know, application provisioning be part of MDM, and is it MDM or EMM anymore? And there's all those questions.
Right.
But the fun part was putting that whole process together.
Yeah. When I look at how the reports have changed from, it was 2011 was the first one, right? And to the 2013
That's
one
right.
that just came out. You know, a few months ago, like I was wondering, like, hey, are we gonna have like a separate mobile app management report, you know, coming out, or like how is it gonna evolve into an EMM report? And it seems like this most recent one really addressed that broad spectrum of different things that make up EMM.
Well, I introduced it actually 2 years ago, and I've been talking about it for a while. And, you know, to me, a name is a name, and people can call what they want, whether it's MDM or even EMM, and that could have different ways of defining it, too. I'm not too hung up on it. I never was on definitions. It's kind of like, you know, what can it do? Is most important, what's the value that it brings? And so, but to me, the expansion of this, you know, is the important part. And, you know, again, you know, typically it's still the same. It falls under hardware, software, security, or services management. So that hasn't changed. I don't think there's been any kind of new category that's brought in. But, you know, what can you do under that? And how can it affect not just the policy on the device and how people use mobile devices, but also mobility and the impact on the application side, especially for supporting, you know, more data, which hopefully increases productivity, efficiency, who knows, all those different things that we've been talking about in mobile data for so many years. And that's the interesting part is, you know, where does this go? And, you know, whether the device replaces other devices or whether the usage replaces other usage, I mean, that's going to be going back and forth for some time. But the real neat stuff is, okay, what comes after email? How do people solve their problems? How does it make their life better? Hopefully not worse. And that's the interesting stuff. And that's where EMM is kind of going to, is looking at all the kind of the in-depth areas in those four categories we had talked about and kind of put together, you know, a few years ago.
But going into those different areas kind of represents a shift from what IT has done in the past regarding device-centric management. And that's always going to have at least some sort of role in the business world. But the things we're talking about, you know, trying to focus more on managing and enabling applications and securing data regardless of where it lives, those are pretty big, not just technology shifts, but mindset shifts for IT. Do you see that remaining as a large obstacle, or are businesses slowly realizing that they're going to have to rethink the way they handle endpoint management?
Well, it's both. It's an obstacle, and probably will always be some type of obstacle, because you know the devices will change, the applications will change. As soon as someone gets a handle on it, things will change. And then, you know, it can go expand from, you know, someone's universe in one country to, oh, how can we do this on a global basis also? How can we do this across different types of cellular networks or different, you know, next generation of the data network? So things are always changing. And I think so it'll always be that obstacle. But at the same time, I think some of this can get easier because of the expanding capabilities of the platforms, both on the device side as well as the management and the kind of enterprise mobile platforms to address all these different needs. And so I think it is moving more in that direction. And I think most companies see the benefits. Of course, the interesting thing is, you know, do they see the hard benefits versus the soft benefits? And that's always been a challenge in mobility, is that everybody gets it. Everybody goes, oh, you know, there's no doubt I'm more efficient and I'm more productive. I can answer more emails, you know, if I can answer from any device versus just back at my laptop, or I can take phone calls from anywhere. And that's always been true. But the question is, you know, how do you quantify those benefits? And sometimes that stands in the way, because there's going to have to be big investments moving forward on mobilizing applications, on supporting devices, even if they go towards BYOD. And sure, that's happening. But most users who use mobile data quite a bit, or international users, the company still has to spend the money for those services. It's the services that have always been the most expensive part of cellular access. It hasn't been the phones themselves or the devices. You know, that's just a one-off. That's nothing. But it's the services. And, you know, that service cost can continue to go up as usage starts increasing. And it's another issue that they need to think about. So, again, there's always some type of obstacle in the way, and they just have to figure out if the benefits overcome what those obstacles are.
Do you think that there will be a more concrete way to prove the ROI for mobile in organizations, so that you can kind of get over that hump as well?
You know, that's a good question. And obviously in some usage models there are, and that continues today. So anything that can be counted, and that's where mobile has succeeded, is anything that can be counted, certainly to a certain degree for counting how many stops a field service personnel will make, how many deliveries are sent each day, how many pickups are done each day, how many surveys are requirements are designed and accessed each day. You know, all those things, certainly the things that can be counted, can help make a business case. And that's been a big driver in the more the vertical adoption of mobility. And so we've seen that for years. That's been very successful. But in more of the horizontal side, I think it's going to be difficult. And I think, of course, you can count anything you want and make up any number you want and say, oh, I was more responsive to customers. You know, maybe we got more sales out of it. You know, it's hard to attribute that to, you know, being more responsive, but certainly it's important. Maybe there's ROI around less turnover, because now I can do more in my day and I don't have to go and do work extension in the evening to go at the end of the travel day, or when I'm at home to do more work, I can get more done during the day. And so maybe that reduces turnover. Who knows? Well, so I think on a horizontal sense, it might not ever be, you know, attributable.
Well, and also, you know, we're having this conversation right now, sort of saying mobile in general, but we've sort of been tiptoeing around, or maybe around this certain issue. Like, let's differentiate between, there's like mobile in the sense of we need to, you know, day to day deal with our phones. You know, our users have had smartphones for years, and they're probably all doing them on email, and, you know, how they're doing it, it's secure, it might not be secure. So there's the, you know, like, there's dealing with, you know, IT pro dealing with a flood of users versus with iPhones. And then there's the, like, how do we mobilize our enterprise with a capital M and a capital E, and, you know, figure out what other applications beyond email we're going to make mobile accessible and like that. So when especially when we're having this like ROI conversation, you know, it's especially a time to differentiate those two, like the day-to-day versus the pie in the sky stuff.
Yeah, definitely agree. And I think it's going to go, you know, more towards the day-to-day. And a lot of it will come down to what the individual likes to use. So if you like using your tablet more than your laptop and it can work well for you and the applications work on them, right, then it'll go more towards that tablet usage. You know, that's not true to date today. You know, for those that have basic needs, you know, that can work very well. But for most business users today, the company hasn't moved to support, you know, their legacy applications, their legacy data on some of these platforms yet. And so it's going to take some time. So users,
do you think that's still a hard influencing? Do you think that's still a hard sell for some companies?
Well, it's a hard sell primarily just because it costs money. Right. And so whenever it comes down to costing money to make that change, I don't think it's something that the IT doesn't want to do. But, you know, first of all, they have to see what that spend is going to be like. What is it? You know, how do we afford this? And then the second thing is, you know, does it make sense for them? You know, they are concerned about more and more of that complex data getting out there if they can't control it. And, you know, that's really frightening to them still. And, you know, just coming from different IT conferences, I was just at the Gartner IT conference last week, so still supporting the old company there. And security was still very top of mind for most of the people that I talked to there. They, you know, were concerned about BYOD. They're still concerned about security, and they're concerned about where the data sits. And so even though there's a lot of, you know, the user wave, let's call it, and say, okay, the wave is crashing on the beach and this is going to happen, you know, IT still, you know, has a lot of those concerns. And, you know, you don't want to lose your job. And in highly regulated markets, you don't want to be fined or maybe you have to go to jail if that data gets out.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. So shifting gears a bit, one of the next questions I wanted to ask. So, you know, years at Gartner, and now before we went live, you told me that it's been 9 weeks now at Citrix. So, so your title at Citrix is VP of strategy for mobile, or just tell me, like, day to day, what you're doing there and what role we can expect to be seeing you doing.
So, mobile solutions and strategy. And the idea is that complexity, right, is emerging. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, even within Citrix, we have a lot of different technology, a lot of different groups that are impacting mobility, not just the mobile products group. And so how do you put solutions together? How do you define a solution? And how do you help whatever all these different types of needs are, these different customer needs are, how do you help that? And so a lot of my time is, you know, working with the different business units, which is exciting. You know, I get to you know, learn some more about cloud networking, learn some more about virtualization, not a whole lot of stuff that was impactful on mobility, you know, a couple of years ago, but certainly we see becoming more impactful all the time. And then look at how these different existing product sets, you know, within mobility and enterprise mobile management, how they all work together to create these different solutions. And again, the solution could be based upon a user segment, so
right,
small, medium, large company,
right,
or
so,
industry
so,
that they're in.
So then what's your role in all that at Citrix?
So again, working with the different business units. So, you know, the GMs and the product managers and the product marketing folks, and saying, okay, you know, what's really needed out there in the marketplace, and how do we put these solutions together, not just individual products? And that's a key thing. That's what EMM is about. But that's what, you know, I think a mobile solution is likely to be most successful. It's not just a point product, and that's complex. So how do you work across different business units, different products, different product sets? So having a solutions group to help drive that, whether it's in mobility, security, cloud, right, it's going to be really important to coordinate all that. So that's what I do, is I coordinate that for mobility.
And that's also the challenge that end users are facing.
Absolutely.
A lot of disparate organizations, mm-hmm, in IT and business that may not have had to work together in the past now do. Do you find that what you're facing with trying to get everything organized on the vendor side mirrors what your customers are going through as well, and what they need to do to be in a place to adopt these technologies?
Absolutely. It's a great point. So for instance, you know, you look on the desktop side, and with, you know, our Zen client products that we have in Zen desktop, you know, that's one group, but they don't really talk to the people, you know, whether it's at Citrix, you know, it's a little bit more, but, you know, in the IT world, those people may not talk to those that are managing mobile devices. And so understanding that is a real key thing, and what that impact is. Now, of course, the good thing is everybody, you know, is a mobile expert at companies today. So everybody wants to see, you know, what they can do with mobility. It's a real sexy technology. It's a big impactful, and it's something that everyone can understand. It's much easier to talk about what you're doing with mobile devices than it is to say, oh, I'm like, you know, a server virtualization expert. You know, that may not be the most, you know, hot topic at cocktail parties. But hey, you know, we support applications on iPhones, right? Everybody gets that. And so there's a lot of interest there, but you're right. You know, those that are managing desktops, you know, are getting more and more interested all the time on saying, well, you know, I may be willing to start managing these mobile devices. You know, we've seen in the past only about 25% of companies are managing their PCs and laptops in the same group that they manage their mobile devices. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's growing rapidly, but I think more and more of that's coming together. And so, again, as that comes together in the enterprise, you know, we want to put some solutions out there that can support that, you know, coming from Citrix.
Yeah, and it's interesting noting that, how quickly Citrix came into the space. You know, it was Synergy 2012 when they first announced the mobile app management, and mm-hmm. we're just about approaching 1 year since the Zen Prize acquisition, and wow, what a year it's been. And you know, I remember a year ago at Synergy Barcelona thinking that that Citrix had like a really good. I remember that keynote at Barcelona a year ago was the way that Citrix explained its vision around, you know, how mobile app management works within the limitations, or with the way mobile devices work, and then sort of their mobile device management plus mobile app management story that they told this year at Synergy. I was really impressed, you know, that like they get it, you know, really well, and they're moving fast and they're executing. And we saw, you know, the Works App Gallery open up a few weeks ago. So one of the things that's kind of on my mind is, you know, ordinarily, you know, unfortunately this year we don't have a Citrix Synergy Europe coming up this month to go to, but. You know, it's we're on the timeline when ordinarily we'd be sort of the next round of Citrix announcements. And I'm wondering, obviously, you can't, you know, tell us everything, but I was thinking, like, what's next for Zen Mobile or Citrix and mobility, and you know, what else might it include to be complete, or what else should we be looking for, or just sort of waiting and letting everything grow and mature?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you always want to be a bit ahead of the marketplace. You know, you don't want to wait for what the customers are asking for, because then maybe it's already too late. And so I think Citrix has been great about supporting what's relevant today, as well as, you know, kind of helping our customer base understand what's coming out in the future. And, you know, the good thing about Citrix, yeah, it's certainly fairly new to, you know, this kind of mobile depth and mobile device management with the Zen Prize acquisition, which actually it didn't close until January of this year. So it's just a little bit past 10 months and already two releases out and a third release coming out in a week or so. So, you know, moving very quickly as the market moves that quickly. So no doubt about that. And, you know, the question is, you know, staying ahead is important as far as helping build the vision and making sure that you move with the customer base. And we didn't do a Synergy in Europe this year because I think it's difficult to look at Europe as a central market. I think certainly Italians don't like to see that, you know, and say it'll get clumped in with the French or the Spanish, or especially the British too, right? So instead of doing one, we're actually doing a number of events all throughout Europe. And so I'm going to miss most of my November traveling through Europe and going to the different cities. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to that, to be able to talk with the different customers in those cities, and rather than having just one central one. So I don't know if it's all the pain at once with the Synergy like we had in Barcelona, or, you know, traveling all around and going to those different cities. But I think in the end, it'll be better for the customers that they can kind of migrate more and hear some more local information. So that's kind of the effort on that. And that's what it's about, is and overall, is like more and more customization to what those needs are. So if you think about it in the application side, at Synergy this year, you know, we launched Zen Desktop 7 with a mobile SDK. So it's not part of the mobile group, but there's a mobile SDK. And what the SDK is, I don't know if you, have you guys seen this yet, where you can optimize your Windows apps for mobile devices? Have you guys played around with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So real good stuff, right? So, yeah, we had the Works announcement, and that's great because it's only been since January that we had the whole full suite with MAM and MDM, and already over, I think at that time we announced 80, but now there are over 100 apps that are already out on the App Store that can be, you know, managed and optimized. But certainly I think that's pretty interesting stuff is on the Windows apps, because, you know, there's a long tail on that. And, you know, we see a lot of companies that are reducing the number of Windows apps they have and that aren't building any more Windows apps. Sure, but you know what? Windows apps are going to be around for, you know, 10, 20 years. And so how do they use those? And so right now that's, you know, one way to get to it, and some pretty interesting optimization to do those Windows apps on tablets and on smartphones. But the next is, how do you mobilize them too? So that way it's not just when you're online and connected, but when you're in the plane, how do you run these apps? How do you look at data? And of course, we have some apps like that with kind of the Worksmail suite, which is gives you offline access too. But it's more and more about those different applications that customers want to mobilize. And hopefully we can make it easy, because that the SDK isn't for mobile app developers. The SDK is for any type of app developer, specifically probably Windows app developers, of course, but to mobilize the app, because there's a lot of you know, mobile apps that are out there for sure, but you know, the knowledge and the capability, the resources of good putting a good mobile app out there, well, that's not available. And I think I've seen, even at Gartner when I was there, a lot of companies, they didn't have the resources or the knowledge to mobilize their apps, you know, whether to build them from the ground up or optimize them. Someone had an iPhone in the application development group. They said, okay, you're the Windows app developer now, or you're the iOS app developer now, right? It's like, yeah, you know, where did these app developers come from?
Well, so speaking of the Works App Store, and, you know, the challenges, you know, we all know the challenges about acquiring apps that are compatible with mobile app management. And, you know, earlier this year, I saw you blogged about mobile app management standards. And, you know, we see that iOS 7, you know, will sort of, you know, take care of, possibly in some situations, take care of some things. But, of course, the need for third-party mobile application management is still strong, I believe. But, you know, you know, I get pretty excited about the idea of mobile app management standards. And I saw that you wrote about them before. So any chance that you'll be pushing that conversation along at Citrix?
Well, I think, you know, this non-standardization of mobility is an obstacle, again, when it comes to the enterprise. But we have to figure out kind of what are these applications and the data models that people want to use first. And so that still seems to be not really well known, you know, even by the enterprises themselves, which I guess is a big part of that problem. The other thing is, you know, more and more, and this was a little bit of a surprise to me how quickly it's happened, but more and more enterprises don't want to manage apps, you know, all apps anyway. They want to manage maybe some of their data in those apps.
Yeah, they want to manage the ones that have their data in them.
Yeah, they have their data in them, or at least their data themselves. You know, where does that data sit? And, you know, is it commingling with, you know, in the same app with non-corporate data, et cetera? So,
yeah, but this managing, well, see, in my mind, managing data, you know, like, if you need to know, you need to have the trusted application. You know, we can talk about mobile information management, but at the end of the day, you need to have an application that you can trust to, you know, to respect your policies. You know, and so that's again where a need for some sort of trusted application comes about.
Yeah, I guess there'll always be that base application, but can you have an application that mixes, you know, personal data and the corporate data, which on iOS, you know, may even be needed? Or is there going to be limitations about, you know, what type of data you can look at on specific applications? So I guess what I was just saying is that the challenge, though, is that it's happening very quickly, that companies want to have much more of a lighter touch on these devices already, right? They're barely managing them, but yet they say, now we don't want to put MDM profiles on them. And, you know, many of them say, you know, we really barely want to touch it at all. And, you know, right now it's a trade-off. You know, there's a spectrum of security for sure, and there's a trade-off that they have about, you know, how secure they want to make it versus how much policy and how much touch they have on it. And especially outside the United States, it's a constant conversation that we're having. And so even with something like app standards, for instance, it may not even get adopted for something like that, because companies are shying away from wanting to put any type of standard around management on these devices. So it's kind of an interesting trend that's happening. And I think, you know, what we're going to end up having is a bit more of segmentation about different types of data, different applications. Again, right now we're kind of on a one-size-fits-all. It's like everything looks like a nail, so I've got a hammer, I'm going to apply MDM to it. But I think that they're going to be looking more and more at things like DLP, for instance, and identity and access management. And some of the security profiles may be based upon, oh, where is it located? Where is that device located? Where, you know, what type of data is it? Is this data rated highly secure versus not as secure? So I'm not going to manage it. And so it may get away from having to worry about managing all these applications in the end. It's more about managing the data.
But again, here's what I'm thinking. Like, that all sounds great. And like this idea of worrying less about the applications and just worrying about, you know, our policies for our data. But at the like at the end of the day, that requires that you have, you know, applications that will respect the policies and enact the policies that are a part of your, you know, that you're packaging out there, you know, with your data as it goes out there. And so that's where I see, you know, this need for like a wide variety of applications. You know, like the ideal thing would be like anybody that makes an application that's like oriented towards business users, you sort of, you know, build it with this standard, you know, able to respect like the, you know, the DLP policies and such. And so that's where like indeed some sort of standard protocol or standard way of interpreting that data would have to be, you know, spread out among available to be used by, you know, large numbers of application makers. And you know, like that's where I see the mobile app management standards you know, conversation. Like that's where I see it doing really cool things, I guess.
No, I agree. And, you know, so how do you, you know, intercept those libraries or, you know, is it going to become part of the application itself? But the other question they ask too, and is this happening faster or sooner than later, is how, you know, what about mobile apps? They're changing. So certainly for consumer apps, for instance, you know, those are going to be around for a long time that are developed with a SDK from Apple or from Google, and they're going to be all of these native apps. But in the enterprise, you know, what we see is they don't want to go towards native application development. They, you know, for their internal apps, they want to maybe use some of the applications that are already coming from their ISVs. But if they're creating their own apps, right, they're not doing them in Windows. You know, they want to create more HTML5 based apps, hybrid apps, and so they may obviate the need for having to have, you know, quote, standard around managing those apps, because, you know, these are becoming more web-based apps. And the question is whether that happens sooner or later. And I'd hate for all of these companies to do all this development around standardization of MDM or developing their apps, and then 3-4 years from now, you know, they're saying, hey, you know what, we're going to put everything into this type of app format, which is kind of see happening already, and then it doesn't make any sense anymore. So the question is, does that happen sooner or later? I mean, are you seeing a lot of that application development move towards more of these, you know, web-based apps or hybrid app capabilities?
Yeah. And that's a big concern. So I guess the one thing, you know, you talked about, you mentioned, you know, a lot of companies just want to, you know, touch the device very as lightly or as little as possible. So does that mean that a lot of the, you know, some of the new iOS 7 capabilities that are dependent on the MDM, using the MDM protocol, I guess that would mean that those aren't really that big of a deal, especially for, or if you're a company that doesn't want to touch your users' devices in that way, then, hey, those are great, but they're not going to help you out.
Yeah, so there's a mix, and so some companies today, if you think about it, they're not really putting much policy on security management on their devices anyway, even if they have MDM. Many of them still don't enforce encryption, or if they have encryption, they're not enforcing third-party encryption for contacts and calendar, so they may only be crypting email. Most of them, as you know, over, you know, 80% didn't do anything with attachments. They didn't manage attachments at all. Now that it's getting built in, maybe they are more likely to do that because it's built in as part of, you know, iOS 7. But as you know, up until September, hardly anyone did it, right? The vast majority did say, okay, well, you get email, you have your attachments, you know, do with it what you will. So a lot of them, you know, hadn't put that security policy in place. Now, this, again, may let them do that, but you know, up till now, a lot of them hadn't had those same concerns. The ones that, again, had are the ones that had most rigorous security needs.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting that we're still in this time of sort of like feeling out like, you know, what are we comfortable with? You know, if mail is in the native client, are we comfortable with, you know, other apps being on the device, you know, that can access, you know, other, you know, PIM associated data, the contacts, the attachments, the text itself. So this whole like feeling things out to see like with what level of comfort that we have with, you know, devices that can possibly share around our corporate data.
I know I'd hate to be compliance officer today, you know, whether you're talking about financial services or I haven't seen anyone in healthcare who has all their hair if they're a compliance officer, because imagine trying to tell doctors what device they can use and how they can use that data. And the story I hear over and over again is they say, well, the doctors just, you know, they may break some rules, but, you know, if you need to save a life, right, you know, it's all about, you know, being, you know, putting the patient first, then darn it, they're going to break some rules. But again, you're the compliance officer who may have to pay for that. And it's pretty tough. I don't envy their position on that.
Yeah. And but but then again, I was just reading this comment in the chat room here. And I think one of the points I was getting at, like when we saw, you know, iOS 7, you know, obviously there's no way for, you know, an IT pro to prevent their users from upgrading their mobile devices. And sometimes those new upgrades break things. And like, I guess that's just, unless you just completely block those devices from your environment, then like, that's just kind of the way things are now.
Yeah, well, that's the way it's been. Right. So, and there have been some problems in the past, you know, with new OS upgrades that have come out and have impacted corporate systems and things
that Exchange bug from 6.1, I think it was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. The Exchange bug, and that's not the first time that's happened. So that's a couple times that have happened. So
that's just the way it is now.
Well, unfortunately, that's what a lot of them have to deal with. And you know, so we, you know, one of the things I wrote about was, hey, make sure you know you alert your users, you test it out internally, right? You do a scaled rollout. Because in the end, even a couple hundred users, if they bring down your mail server, for instance, that's going to impact the individual too if they won't be able to do their corporate emails. So everybody's, you know, everybody becomes part of the problem, but they become part of the solution too by maybe just holding out. But at the same time, everybody wants to be there first. They want to download the new OS because, hey, it feels great. It's like having a new phone. And it's a challenge. And unless Apple, you know, does something around that and allows people to manage that a little bit better, that's what we're going to have to live with for a while, at least on the Apple side.
Yeah.
But that's not a problem that's exclusive to mobility. I mean, how many times in the past year has Microsoft had to roll back one of the patches that they've rolled out for various software or Windows because of errors with it? I mean, even if Apple went to a more...
But with mobility, there's less control.
Even if they went to a more enterprise-friendly model of OS updates, there would still be issues.
Yeah. It's a good point, and it's just the world that we live in now. Obviously, everybody knows a lot of companies rush out their software before it's fully debugged. And competition is everywhere, and this cycles, you know, move so quickly. And even as an analyst, I really struggle with that because, you know, what we used to take, you know, 6 months or 7 months and down to 4 months to do a big study like the Magic Quadrant. Once you publish it, you know, most of the companies have already done an update or two to their software, right? So, you know, how do you keep up with, you know, what's latest and greatest? And it used to be, you know, 5, 7, even, you know, 10 years ago, but even 5 years ago, companies said, you know, hey, we'll wait. You know, we don't want to be on the latest and greatest. You know, there was a small percentage, you used to call those type A companies, that, you know, were cutting edge and bleeding edge. And they, you know, that 10% or 5% of companies are willing to take the chance to get the additional gains of being on a new platform.
But your users today, your users want to be the latest and greatest, so you got to deal with it no matter what.
They do, but the funny thing is like, you know, besides the kind of the look and feel, are there things that users get? I mean, certainly there may be some features, but for the business usage, are there things that they get that help them do their, you know, work better? And, you know, there's definitely incremental advantages to upgrading to these things, but, you know, could people wait a week or two? Probably could, right?
So, will they, and can we, will they want to wait? And can we control whether or not they wait? And the answer to both of those, of course, is no.
I mean, I know more and more users who have already done beta, you know, downloads of iOS 7 during the summer, and were already doing it on their own before, you know, their IT people did that. So people are getting more, is it me, or do you think people are getting more tech savvy? I mean, I think they're really getting more tech savvy around these things. And the more that they manage on their own, the more they're getting tech savvy around it. You know, we used to make jokes in the United States about the blinking clock on the VCR.
Yeah.
Which we don't have VCRs anymore, but nobody's clock is blinking anymore. People are getting more tech savvy around it.
Well, I wonder if that also means that, you know, that the users, you know, that we can now, as they're getting more tech savvy, if they can, like, hey, more understand, hey, we're bound by compliance, so please don't email that document to Gmail into Dropbox because it has sensitive data in it and stuff like that.
So, I think a lot of it's funny that I think the users know in many cases, you know, that it's not necessarily the right thing to do. One, they may not be given an alternative on what to do. So if they're given an alternative, you know, it's really easy to use that. So that's been a big change for me coming to Citrix and a technology company versus a research company. And it's changed the way that I do some of my communications, because now even my mobile device, I can put attachments right into the email itself. And I, you know, we have a whole of our own system with ShareFile for file sharing. And, you know, it's a change you have to make, and it's a little bit abrupt at first, but you get used to it. And when someone said, hey, can you send me these files you've been working on? And I think our limit is something like 10 megs. So, and, you know, I have a couple PowerPoints. And I'm like, hey, I can't send them out. I have to share a link instead of sending the file itself and get used to the file sharing and the secure file sharing. It's like, whoa, I got to get used to that.
But you know, it's pretty cool that it's there and in place and available to use, and you don't have to go rogue and go get, you know,
exactly,
go do something else to do it. So I know Colin mentioned that he had to do a little bit early stop today. I really know that this conversation we could probably go on for hours. It's really great to be talking. But in the last minute or so, tell us, you know, and it doesn't even have to be, you know, enterprise mobility related, but what are you excited about now that's coming up, or what do you like to talk about in general, you know, technology related?
Well, of course, everybody's talking about the wearables, and I don't think that's going to be a revolution yet, but I love that new Samsung commercial where they show all those different wristwatches, you know, from all the different science fiction shows. I'm a huge science fiction fan. So that's kind of fun to watch that. Did you see that commercial where they have all those different watches from the Jetsons and from Dick Tracy and of course, you know, talking about gear, but that's pretty cool. Whether they're watches or glasses, that's kind of cool. No, but someone did take a picture of me in Google Glass once, but I'm trying to make sure that gets covered up.
Everybody got that on their avatar, right? They have the small print on the Samsung Galaxy Gear commercial where, you know, it says only available when paired with Galaxy Note 3, which takes away from a lot of the coolness factor of what they just showed.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, yeah. I thought you were going to say
it doesn't actually beam you to any place. You know, that too.
I know, really.
I'd be first in line for that one.
If it had teleportation features, that would really
Yeah, that would be cool. That would be cool. The interesting thing to me is this idea of years ago, this denial of productivity, and that mobile was building on top of it. So as the internet was coming, and everybody now is dealing with the fire hose and these rapid changes that we talked about, and now the distractions. You know, I think we all feel that overwhelmingness of, oh, I've got to put this on Twitter, and then I'm going to check my Facebook, and boy, now everybody's using LinkedIn again, right? I had LinkedIn for 10 years. I didn't use it for like six of them, and all of a sudden now everybody's on LinkedIn, and then, you know, is Clout, is that the new, you know, is that the one that everybody's going to go to soon? And there's all these different ones that I see all the time. And so I have this idea of this denial of productivity, and that the technology, although it can increase your productivity, it can also deny it too, because we have all these distractions. And so I think it's really interesting, you know, looking at some of these algorithms that can filter for you and that can be customized to you, both in a good way and then in a bad way too, because after a while, what happens is if you're filtering, then, you know, it's not necessarily a subjective bias, but does the company start, you know, giving you bias towards what you see on that filtering, because, you know, they think they know what you want, when in the end, maybe there's other things that I may want. So that's kind of an interesting thing, is how you manage all that data.
Yeah. Yeah. I know when Gmail started the filtered inbox, and I go over to that, you know, promotions and social tabs, and realize like how full those other, those other inboxes are full of all that stuff. But anyway, one last fun question that, I'll credit Brian Katz asked me this question when he had me on the mobile cast back at Bryform. So fun question. What devices do you use that are currently charged right now?
You know what? I still have an iPod that I have in 2006, and I still play a lot of my music on that, and it's kind of funny because I keep you know, an iPod for main music, which is 64 gigs, and then I have my iPhone where I have all of my podcasts on there, which also take up a lot of data too. It's like, I can never have enough to carry around with me. I just like to have it. Although, you know, I don't do as much on the streaming side because I just really want to customize it myself. And so I've got, you know, 5,000 songs on my iPod. It's kind of, to me, it's like my own customized radio station. And it's great because I'm always like, hey, I love that song that just came on. Or I don't know what song this is because sometimes I don't remember what I put on there when you have 5,000 songs. But I'm like, hey, I like it, though. It's definitely something I would like. I must have put it on there. So it's kind of funny. So I still use a lot of that old technology.
Old school, you know, iPod, iPhone.
Have a Android tablet that I use, so you know, one of the Notes 10.1, and I haven't gone to the smaller devices yet for the tablet. And, you know, I see people using the Kindles, and they're using, you know, the new Fire came out, looks pretty good, but I like a multi-purpose device, and I haven't hurt myself yet by dropping my 10 inch on my face, you know, while reading and falling asleep. But I like the multi-purpose idea of, you know, boo, I want a video on it. It looks a lot better than some of the smaller ones. So I like to watch video. I like to do the reading. So I want something that's bigger and can accommodate that. And so I haven't gone to the smaller ones yet. You know, and I don't do much reading on my small 4-inch screen. So I've still kind of stuck to the bigger devices that are to me are more multi-purpose. But I don't know. There's some announcement I hear that Apple's going to make in a couple of weeks. So maybe it'll be something in the middle that may be the best of both worlds, but generally there isn't. And so you either get them very big for everything or, you know, kind of small and specialized.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks so much for answering that. Colin, anything else from you today? I know we're nearing the end of our time and.
No, I think that's all I got. Thank you very much for coming on the show, Phil, and hopefully we can do it again sometime soon.
My pleasure. Great to be here, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah. So nice to talk, Phil. Thanks so much. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a good afternoon.